Lord, that you have a word for us, oh God. And in Jesus' name we pray, oh God, that you will help us, oh God, to stay focused and to listen to you this morning, oh Lord. We thank you for everyone that's here this morning. We pray that you bless them tremendously in your precious and holiest name. In all God's wonderful people say amen and amen. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know some of you want to go watch the NFL football game. So what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to preach until 2 o'clock. So I think it begins at 11, but some of the brothers have just looked at me with a crooked eye. But we just want to say that we're so grateful to be here today, and we're just going to go through the Word of God. But I want to say, I want to welcome every one of you, and I want to also welcome a friend of mine with his wife is here today, Jeremiah and Kathy Rabel, if I'm pronouncing the last name right. He is from Pastor Jeremiah. He's from now from the PAOC. He is going to be working on effectiveness coach. He will be helping out churches how to improve even media and all that kind of stuff, just to do publicity on churches, to allow churches. There's more than that to it, but I'm just giving you a little nut. In a nutshell, what the Pastor Jeremiah is here. But we want to welcome Pastor Jeremiah and Kathy. Welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. We're so grieved that you're here with us. And there's one thing that I like about Pastor Jeremiah. He's always ready to serve and ready to help. So thank you for that. But also I want to say I'm even thankful for your wife because she's from Montreal. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. And there's a little story. We're going to be looking at the armor of God this morning. I know it's a story that we've, a text that we've looked at many times, but I want to bring it out in a different form, in a different way, so it allows us to understand in a different way. So I just pray that we'll just speak to our hearts this morning. We know that it's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. But before I get into that text this morning, I was reminded of a little story in 2 Kings that tells us a time that the Syrian army was trying to capture Israel at that time, and it appeared that he had trouble to do so. Whatever they wanted to do against Israel, they did not get a chance to do it. The Syrians were stronger and bigger, and they had all kinds of resources. They had everything that needed to go against Israel. The problem that was that every time they tried to trap Israel, they knew where Israel were going, but Israel wouldn't show up. They always tried something to get Israel down, but it happened that they never at the right spot at the right time. So there was something that was happening, and we see that the Syrian king, frustrated, he couldn't get a hold of the Israel. He couldn't catch up to Israel, and he finally knew why. So he thought of it, and he said, there's a traitor in my camp. So he comes to his men and says, who is on Israel's side? He's frustrated. Who was on Israel's side at that time? Someone is squealing on me. Someone is going around. Because every time we're trying to get close to Israel, it's not happening because someone inside our camp is squealing, is a snitch, or is a rat, we call it, all that kind of stuff. So we see that. But then the men said to the Syrian, the king, and starts saying, no, king, it's not that. There's a prophet, and his name is Elijah. And God always tells him what he says in the bathroom, in the bedroom. So he's connected with God, and God speaks to him in a way, so they have this advantage on us. So he says to this man, he says, we have a plan. Let's get Elijah. Let's try to capture Elijah and bring him down so we just solve the problem down right there. So they finally arrived where Elijah was staying and surrounded this town. And one morning, Elijah's servant looked up, and this you'll find in 2 Kings. You have a time to read it. You will see it's an excellent story. They surrounded the town, and one morning, Elijah's servants looked up and saw on the hillside, covered with horses and chariots and fire all around the city, and the entire Syrian army was there. But the servant asked Elijah, So what are we going to do at that time there? So Elijah knew what was happening. Elijah knew that he was going to get him down. And Elijah responded in 2 Kings chapter 6, 16. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And maybe the servants were saying in their minds at that time, says, is it possible? Do you understand what's happening here? We're outnumbered here. You're saying we're numbered, we're more, but we're actually outnumbered. There's a place, the Syrian army is all around us. We're going to be destroyed. But here is what I'm trying to bring out forth through this story here, and will bring us to Ephesians in a while. It says, Elijah's servant saw the physical reality, but Elijah sees the spiritual reality. Elijah's servant saw the physical circumstances, but Elijah saw the spiritual circumstances. Elijah's servant saw an enemy to attack. Elijah saw a God that protects. See, we live in a natural society. We see things in the natural, and there are times we don't even see the supernatural hand of God. We don't believe in that. We don't see it. We just see it in our physical eyes in the natural. And we put God in a box. We limit God and we place him in a box. Remember one thing: God does not live in a box. He is out of the box. He does things that you and I cannot even understand at times. So Elijah's servant sees the physical circumstances, but Elijah saw the spiritual circumstance. He sees there's something bigger than that, that God is a big God. And the only way we will see that God is not in the box, if you and I will pray and allow God to see that there's a real war in this world, the spiritual world, as the army, as Satan fights with the people of God, as the enemy attacks in the spiritual realm, there's fighting in between one another. We may not see it in the spiritual sense, but it's happening there every single day of our life, every single moment of our days. There's a constant battle. And at times, even Christians don't even see that. But let me tell you, there is a spiritual battle. When you are a son of God, when you're a child of God, when you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the enemy is ready to fight, to go against you. And he will use any method, he will use any tool, he will use anybody to destroy your life. When your eyes are closed and your head is on that pillow, he is not sleeping, he is working to manipulate, to destroy your life, because that's what he came for, to kill your life and to steal your joy that God has given to your life. That is his plan. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is a battle up there, because you are a child of God. We see God, we put him in a box at times, but no, he is out of the box. Enemy is real, church. He is powerful. And he wants to take everything from you which Jesus Christ has given to you. Satan does a very good job in doing that. Removing things that belong to you. Removing things that belong to me. He is strong, but God is stronger. So some people might say Satan is not strong. He is powerful. But God is stronger. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians that we are living in the evil days, and the days are evil. In Ephesians 5:16, it tells us that making the most of every opportunity because the days. And if the days were evil, then how much more the days are evil today? As the days are passing, as the months are passing fast, as the years are passing, days are increasing with evil, and evil all around us. Everywhere we step, there's evil. The enemy, he's taking another step, and he's attacking harder and harder to remove the things that belong to the children of God. And you know, I know that he has done that on many people that you and I know today. And that's where it brings us to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. This is a story that we know very well. It's a text that Paul is sharing here. And just because it's a story that we've read already, just still have your hearts and your ears open. Because God has a word. Every time we read the word of God, it's active. It always speaks. We might learn something else through that verse. So look at this together. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. So we know as this church here, when I underline something, that's what I'm going to be talking about. That's the first thing. We're going to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And go on. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in your place, and with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the people, all the Lord's people. In verse 14, it explains about take a stand. Stand, therefore. The reason why he's saying standing instead of walking, because when it comes in the battle of the spiritual realms of our spiritual forces, we are not fighting for victories, we are fighting from the victories. Let me explain. We have already been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We already stand secure in our relationship with Him. And what the enemy wants to do is this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullness. What the enemy wants to do is to take away for what is ours. What is ours because we know Christ. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your confidence. He wants to steal everything that we have because you and I know Christ. So here it says, take a stand. And remember one thing, if you are sleeping, if you are sitting, it's going to be harder for us to get up and fight the enemy. That's why we must be alert and take a stand at all times. The armor of God is not something that you take and place yourself only when you're having that battle. Your armor of God is you take it every single day and you're walking in the life of holiness. You're walking in a life of righteousness. It is a daily thing that you must put on yourself every single day, so when the enemy attacks, you are ready to fight back. But it happens to a lot of Christians that you and I know we accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, but we're not walking in holiness, we're not walking in righteousness, and when an attack of the enemy comes, we have a hard time to defeat him. And we take out that sword, and now that I take out that sword, yeah, you can cast out the demon or the devil, whatever you want to call it, the enemy, whichever you want to call it, you can cast it out. But the sword of God must be practiced every single day of your life so you're ready to fight the battle. And we're going to go to every part this morning. And I want to explain every single part and what the enemy and where he attacks us the most. The only way we stand against the enemy is if we put on the whole armor of God. Not partially, not one piece, not two piece, all the equipment, including the sword of the Spirit. Based on the context of Ephesians' letter was as a whole, we can assume that Paul was trying to relate to each piece of armor to some aspect of Jesus, his power and his provision. Without armor, a soldier was as good as dead in the battle. And without the armor of God, I'm telling you, you're walking dead. You're a dead person walking. You are not going to survive. Verses 14 to 16 are mentioned six pieces of armor, and he commands us to put it on. So the first thing we're going to look at is the belt of truth. Ephesians 6, 14. To stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in the place. But the first thing we're going to look at, belt of truth. I know it might sound strange for some of you today, considering the belt goes around the waist. But remember one thing, the Roman soldiers had worn this belt around them is to keep everything in place. I wear my belt to keep this pant in place. You wear your belt to keep it in place. All together, if you have no belt, it just falls off. Am I right? So you have this belt and put it in to keep it in place. But let me tell you something. It might have a strange with you, but if you don't have this belt, everything is all over the place. What the enemy is trying to do, you might find this strange to you, what I'm going to tell you, but the enemy was trying to do, he's going to hit right between your eyeballs, and that is your mind. Because if your mind is not there anymore, you're out of place. You're going to be confused. You're going to be destroyed. So he's going to go for your mind and try to hurt you hard and to get you down. Because when he hits your mind, you're not healthy anymore. You're not thinking anymore. You're just all confused and you don't know where to go. So let me tell you something. Put on the belt of truth daily and put it around your waist and walk with it every single day of your life. Because then you are going to be ready to fight this enemy. And many times the enemy has hit the mind of people and says things that are lies. He is the father of lies. He lies. He manipulates. That's his role. That's what he wants to do. And I want to quote for some of these men that authors and speak about the mind. It says, the monsters of the mind are far worse than those who actually exist. Fear, doubt, and hate have more people than beasts ever have. And then another one from Jim Rowan. It says, I found that when you start thinking and saying that we really want, then in your mind automatically shifts and pulls you in that direction. And sometimes it can be that simple. Just a little twist in vocabulary that illustrates your attitude and philosophy. The enemy will come and he will speak to you into your mind. He's going to attack your mind, because if you're going to focus somewhere else, you're going to go in the wrong direction. So take up that belt of truth and put it around you, and don't believe in the lies of the enemy, but you stand firm and wear it every single day of your life. Wrap it around it. It is extremely important. And the Roman soldiers had put that belt and they put that sword right there to keep it in place. And it all connects to everything, to all the equipments. Because if you have everything, you also have the sword with you. But at times we want to lose and forget one item, one equipment. We like everything else, but we forget the sword of the Spirit. And I'm going to get to that point. The enemy wants to play with our mind. He wants us to forget who are you in Christ. He wants us to forget you, God's power. So he plays with our mind because he plays with our mind and just lies and lies. And he doesn't say nothing else but lies to us. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced, you and I know that you are a child of God, but you have experienced that enemy comes and just lies in your mind and says, if you are the son of God, if you are a child of God, how come he's not responding to you? And he plays with your mind. And he twists everything around. So when he gets your mind, you're focusing somewhere else instead where you're called to go. He plays with the mind. So in order to stand against the enemy and stand against the lies, we must put on the belt of truth. The truth is not simply just the word of God. The truth is in this text is mentioned is a subject truth. The belt of truth is the reference who we are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? Have you ever said to you, every single day you get up and say, I am a child of God. I am adopted into the kingdom of God. Every day we say, I'm a child of God. And if you're a child of God, who can be against us? But he comes and he tells us lies, that you're nothing. In Ephesians 1, we see the truth. Who are you in Christ? Unless you know who you are in Christ, you won't be able to stand against the enemy. So in other words, if you are a child of God, you are a child of God. In Ephesians 1, if you have time, read it. It tells us this, you are blessed. You are blessed, which means God is good to you. You have been chosen, which means you don't have to wonder if God wants you. You are loved, it tells us, which means he cares for you. You are adopted, which means he is near to you. You are redeemed, which means God has forgiven to you. And says, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, which means he will never leave you or forsake you. You got to know who you are in Christ. That's just a few, and there's many other things who you are in Christ. The belt of truth, reminding ourselves who we are in Christ. The second piece of the equipment is the breastplate of righteousness. So you know that he hits the mind, so he confuses us, he lies to us, and he wants to say that who you are, you have to know who you are in Christ. And then the second thing of the piece that we're going to look at is the breastplate of righteousness. And what he hits is the heart. If he hits the mind, he's going to hit your heart. And you know when he hits your heart, it refers to the emotions and affections. When your emotions are hit, when your affections are hit, it's hard to get back. How many of us have been hit by your emotions and by the affections? Sometimes we ask ourselves, but how come I love God today more than yesterday? How come I love God more yesterday than even last week or something like that? Our emotions play. Our affections are playing. And just because he attacks the heart. And when he attacks the heart, everything is out of place. You don't know what's happening anymore. Am I the only one that hits the heart? No, he hits everybody's heart. Brother, you can put that next slide. It's point number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Hits the heart, which means walking in holiness. That's the key. Walking in holiness. Stand by walking in personal holiness. Now, the belt of issues is the mind, but the breastplate of righteousness is our heart. It refers our emotions and our affections. And many times we battle with our emotions and affections. Affections are the things you love, something that you have passion for. Do you sense that you love him more today? Do you sense him that you love him more yesterday but not today? If you don't, if you sense that, because the enemy's trying to hit your heart. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to get your heart down. And at times we are like emotional roller coaster ride. You're not sure if even you love him or not. Not sure if you love him or not. The enemy wants to steal our affections. He wants us to steal. He wants us to be consumed. He wants us to love things more and to love Jesus. So we'll hit the heart, so you will love other things more than love Jesus. And we spoke about that yesterday, giving it all last week, 1,000% to Jesus. Love him supremely. Love him more than anything else in love. Love him more than your family. Love him more than your items. Love him more than your job. Love him more than anything in life. If you love Jesus supremely more, it's important. It is extremely good. When you love him more, everything will go into place. But the enemy is going to hit the heart, so you will love other things more than Jesus. That's what he tries to do. He tries to hit the heart. The battle of the heart put on the breastplate of righteousness. Brother, do you have point number two? Brother Hussein, point number two, please. We're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness in this text is not the righteousness whenever we accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Righteousness in this text is a practical righteousness. Walking in holiness and purity before God. It is a thing that we need to do daily. Examine yourself. Examine yourself daily and say, am I walking in holiness? Am I walking in right things with God? Am I doing things to be holier and holier every single day of my life? Am I examining myself and removing the things that do not belong to me? Walking in personal holiness is extremely important for you and I to survive in this world, to survive against the plan of the enemy, and he's trying to destroy you. The way you will protect your emotions and affections, the way you protect your heart, is the same way that you walk with him daily. You got to walk with him daily. It's not just a one-time deal. You come to church on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or on a Friday, one time a week. No, it is a daily, constant walking with God every single day of our life. It is consistency, having communication with God, talking with him every single day of our life. Try not to miss one day. Try not to miss not even half a day. But the moment you get up, just start talking to him. Have this consistency relationship with him on a daily basis. And that will help you defeat the attacks of the enemy. The armor of God is not to put on when you need it. There's something that we have to live it day by day. Satan attacks the heart, so the breastplate of righteousness has to be there daily into our life. If we fail to walk in holiness, we will never stand against the enemy. We will never stand against the enemy. The third piece we need to look at is piece of equipment, is their shoes. Ephesians 6:15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's explore the footwear analogy here for a moment. We're going to work, we have to have the good shoes. We're going to play soccer, you got to have the good shoes for it. Because I remember not too long, we played some soccer with some of the guys in the church and some of the women in the church, and they didn't have any cleats, and I need those spikes under the shoes, and they were sliding everywhere. You have to have the right shoes to play soccer. You have to have the right shoes to walk. And the shoes is what? Protection. You have to have the protection, support, traction, and performance, comfort. You all need the right shoes. If you don't have the right shoes, you can't really focus. You can't really go accomplish what has to be accomplished. The footwear, the spiritual footwear that comes from the gospel of peace gives us a firm, root-footed stability. Stability, we need it to face our active fight. The Roman soldiers had to have the right proper shoes on to fight the battle. If you didn't have the right proper shoes, they would have lost because there was no traction. You need to have the right shoes. And here, when we're talking about the shoes here this morning, I want to tell you it is the position. You have to have the right position. The good news here that we have seen in the peace of God through Jesus Christ, all of us were born as an enemy of God. All of us were born as an enemy of God. But through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have now the peace of God. And how is it that when we have the peace of God, it can protect us from the enemy? It gives you incredible confidence. It gives you confidence when you know that God has given you this peace. Once you were blind, but today you see. Once you were destroyed, but today you're good and healthy because God has given you the peace that we're all searching for. Having confidence in Jesus Christ simply tells that God is on your side. Nothing more is more important than to hear God is on your side. Don't you want to hear that God is on your side? I want to hear that God is on my side. And if God is on my side, who can be against me? If God is on my side, no one can get close to me. That's the God that you and I have. He is on your side. He is on my side. He has your back. He has my back. He is our protector. And He has an interest in your life the way He has an interest in my life. You see, the moment you take off your shoes, which means in the confidence you have in Jesus Christ, the peace of God, the moment you do that and you take off your shoes, He will attack your emotions and affection. You will fail and start thinking that God is not on your side. But you and I know that when you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the peace of God has come into your life. So the moment you take off your shoes, you lose that confidence. That's why you must put on the right shoes on and run and fight this battle and fight against this enemy. And what happens in the Christian world, at times we get tired and we remove our shoes and we relax and say, I'm tired now. Let me just relax for a moment. I know some people in the church like to do that on every Sunday afternoon. It's okay, but I'm not talking about that sense there. I'm talking about in the spiritual sense, keeping this confidence that God is on your side. Don't you ever believe in the enemy and say that God is not my side because you have not responded to your prayer. Don't you ever believe that lie. He would tell you that all sorts of things so you will lose confidence in knowing that God is on your side. That's His plan. That's what He wants to do. But no, remind yourself that God is on your side. Stand confident. Put on your shoes because He loves you and He wants the best for you and He has good things for you and I. Now the fourth piece that we're going to look at equipment is to take up the shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows and the evil one. Here I want to look at it. This is must stand in belief on the promises of God. The most powerful weapon against the enemy is the promises of God. Remind yourself that the promises are yes and amen. Remind yourself that the promises are there for us. Remind ourselves daily that the promises of God are there to help us, to encourage us, to uplift us, to direct us. But so he tells us to take up the shield of faith, the promises of God. He said, take up the shield which can extinguish all the flaming darts. Flaming darts can be different to one person to another. Some can be worry, some can be anxiety, some can be circumstances, they're all different to one person to another. And you and I know, and you know yourself, which arrows are going towards your life today. But remember on the promises of God. Take up that shield. Don't you put it down and say, oh, are the promises of God not happening today? No, believe in the promises of God and stand firm in the promises of God and claim it and believe it that the promises of God are there for you and I. So take up that shield of faith which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So if the enemy attacks you and says, oh, your family is not going to be saved, is not going to be there anymore, you just stick up that shield and you say, I believe in the promises of God. Or when you're going through the hardest time of life and you're just discouraged, and the enemy says, look how discouraged are you, but you just take up the promises of God and say, when I am discouraged, God lifts me up. When I'm discouraged, God lifts me up. Look, and the enemy attacks us again. Look at you have no job. Look at this. You're a child of God. You have nothing. Oh man, you're going to go bankrupt. You're going to go die. No, you stand up and believe in the promises of God, because God says, I will provide for you. God says, I will provide for you, because you are a child of God. The enemy plays with our minds and our hearts and our emotions and our affections. He plays with our confidence. Must stand in belief on the promises of God. Here is the great. There are different kinds of flaming darts, but there is only one shield, and that's a shield of faith, and that are promises of God. There are different flaming darts that are coming towards you. Many, but there's only one shield of faith, and that are the promises of God. That defeats all of them, that quenches them all, in Jesus' name. All the enemy wants to bring is your doubts on the promises of God. And he has done that to many believers. He has done that to many believers. The enemy wants us to doubt on the promise of God so we can lose the battle. Pick up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith, even in all circumstances around you, doesn't make any sense. Believe in the promises. Even though circumstances say, it doesn't make sense, God, but you say, I'm taking up the shield of faith. Keep on believing. When we believe God and take up at his word, we remain grounded in the truth and we become overcomers against the lies of the enemy. At times I think about even the singles in our churches. It comes in many singles that I know, and even some in the church, the enemy will come and lie and say, oh, life starts only when you have the right man in your life. And he comes and just manipulates and lies. Oh, I'm not beautiful enough. Or I'm too big. Or I'm too skinny. Or I have a bigger ear than the other. He just comes and just lies over lies and lies. And it hurts me, because sometimes the singles get attacked the most. You're not good enough. You can't get married. That's a lie of the enemy. Because you are good. When the lie and the enemy says you're ugly, you put yourself and look at the mirror and says, I am cute and I am beautiful because God has created me. He says that. Is it only me that he comes up to me and says, oh, you have a fat belly? I think that's everybody, you know? But I look at it and says, I'm a little bit fat, but I am good looking. Play, go against him. Singles, don't you ever think that you're not good enough. Because you are. Because you are a child of God. You're a child of God. And God has someone for the singles. Not for you, Audrey. Not for you. You got to stay. Yes, you got to stay like that for the rest of your life. That's the enemy trying to scare you there, okay? Stand firm. Don't believe in the lies of the enemy. But stay strong. The fifth piece that I want to look at is the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here it is, standing in the hope of your salvation. The enemy will do anything in his power to make you lose hope. And at times he made us lose our hope. He wants to discourage you and to bring you doubt. He wants to bring you out of the past, on the past failures in your life, and the weakness of your life, and all the doubts and discouragement. And when he does that, it will lead us to depression. And you and I know a lot of people in depression. He wants to steal that what God, Christ has given us. And that is our hope. And the greatest hope you can find is found in Philippians 1:6. Being confident on this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. If God has started something in your life, he will bring it to completion. Don't you ever doubt on that. Keep on hoping for the Lord. Hope for the best is yet to come. Hope for the best is yet to come. The helmet of salvation is the hope that we have in our salvation. The hope of God has started in us, and he will bring it to a completion. And some of us have lost our hope in Christ, because you haven't seen the results you wanted to as fast as possible. So we lost out of hope and said, oh, it's not possible. I'm losing it. It's not going to happen anymore. But stand firm. Put on the helmet of salvation, because what he started in you, he will bring it to completion. Don't you ever stop. Keep on trusting and hoping in the Lord. And then it goes on. It says, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit standing is consistency in the Word of God. The Bible tells us to meditate it day and night. So what happens is we have all this equipment on, defensive equipment, and one of our another equipment is the offensive one, the ones who attack. But what happens in our lives is when we get attacked from the enemy, we start saying things like, I bound you, Satan. Oh, get away from you. I rebuke you, Satan. Nothing wrong in saying that. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Jesus has given us the right example how to fight the enemy. And when he was been tempted in Luke, you will see, it said, it is written. He used the word of God to fight the enemy. And that's what you and I must use today. Yes, you can say, I rebuke you. And then what we do is we're okay for 2 weeks. But the walking and with having the Spirit and having the sword of the Spirit is consistency in the Word of God. So when the enemy attacks, you are ready to fight back right away. It's consistency that we need. Every single day, put your face in the Word of God. Even if it's one word, if it's one verse a day, but put it there. Jesus has demonstrated to us. He said, it is written. And that's how we won the battle. That's how we won temptation. How are we going to win against the enemy if we read the Bible one time a month? You're going to lose and you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed, and then you're going to be a soldier that is dead. Away for where God has called you to be. But consistency is extremely important. For me, the word consistency goes not just in the Word of God, it's in everything. If you're not consistent in your coming to the church, I can guarantee you, you're not consistent in your giving, you're not consistent in your reading of the Scriptures. I can tell you that. And you're not consistent in your fellowship. And those things you need in the church. So consistency is important. How is it that you have a relationship with your husband and wife, and all of a sudden you see that they're coming daily to your home, we're getting to unite around the table, but all of a sudden you have this wonderful consistency, they're always getting together, all of a sudden your husband comes every so often. Is that going to be good? He comes once a month. Where's my husband now? Oh, he's going to come soon. Yeah, he's going. There's no consistency. What happens? You're not going to do anything. It's not going to happen. But the consistency of seeing him on a daily thing, you will grow together. You will grow together. You will learn together. You will pray together. It's also with the sword of the Spirit. We want to do that, and we want to fight this enemy, and we say, oh, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Oh, I did my job today. Oh, I finished it. That Satan has won. I won the battle. But he'll come. Let me tell you something. He's going to come again.
But if you have the word daily in your life, can't you fight it differently? Well, it sounds good when you say, I rebuke you. Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah, it does. But doesn't it sound better? It is written. The Bible tells me it is written. Now we can say, I rebuke you. The word must come first. If you're in a battle and you have no word of God, you have no sword, you will lose. You can defend yourself for a period of time. But sooner or later, you're going to get weak. And if you don't have the word to fight back, we're finished. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to this church. It's not going to happen to individuals in this church, because we're going to put on the full armor of God daily and walk with this armor on a daily, day-to-day basis. Walk with it and remind yourself every day who you are in Christ. He wants to attack us in every way. But we're stronger. Look at this. Remember, church, we are in Christ. Walk in personal holiness. Have confidence in our position in Christ. Belief in the promises of God. Hope in your salvation. And lastly, consistency in the word of God. And I'd like to leave you with this in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 17. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, not even through the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and the illness were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Okay, I don't want to start something here, right there, in that verse right there, okay? At that time, it must have worked, and it did work, because it says in the scriptures, but let me tell you something. If someone is selling handkerchief, don't buy it. I'm telling you right now. I remember I was playing hockey in Montreal, and some of the people of the church came to the hockey game, and then I finished playing hockey. I took out my shirt and I put it down, and some of the young adults came and took the shirt. It says, I want this shirt. And I go, what do you want this shirt for? There's an anointing on it. I go, ooh. Like, really? So don't buy those handkerchiefs. If I offended you, it's the word of God, not me. Watch this. That's for taking all the illness were cured and all the evil spirits have left them. Some Jews, verse 13, who went around driving out the evil spirits to try to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish chief priest were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Who are you? And the man who had evil spirit jumped out of them and overpowered them, and he gave them such a beating, I like the word beating, that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. In verse 17, when he did this become known to all the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was just held in a high honor. What Paul is trying to communicate here is the fall. The armor of God is not just something you take up when you need it. Just because Paul was doing that, these seven sons believed that they could do the same thing. The armor of God is about who you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Putting on the armor of God is walking consistency in the relationship with God. And you and I have no idea when you're going to get attacked. You might be smiling right now. You might be happy right at this moment now. You might be going out of this place so joyous and so excited and so happy, praising the Lord, but you can be ready. But you have to be ready, because the enemy can attack the moment you step out of those doors. And how are we going to defeat it? Putting on the full armor of God. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit, verse 18, in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. But this is the mind, be alert and keep always praying for all the Lord's people. Basically, pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Pray every day of your life. Have this relationship with God. How are you going to defeat the enemy if you pray one time a week? You can't. You will not. You will not hear the footprints of the enemy. You will not hear the enemy coming going against you if you don't pray. You cannot defeat it if you don't spend time in prayer. You don't have to spend prayer for 15 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. No, but just communicate in praying every day. and asking God to help you. And every day of your life, getting up and says, Lord, today I know I'm going to have a battle, but I want to put on the full armor of God. Every day you put on the full armor of God, every single piece, every equipment placed on your life. I don't know how the enemy is going against you with the flaming darts. Maybe we're getting defeated because we're not standing on ground. We must take that stand and stand on ground. Be ready. Be alert at all times. You got to be smarter than him. And you know you got to just have your eyes and look and pay attention and just stay focused and speak to God daily. Daily, be alert, be ready, because when he attacks, now you can fight back and win the battle. Do we want to win the battles? Do we want to overcome the battles? A lot of us have lost those battles, but it's time to pick up the full armor of God and say, Lord, I'm here as a soldier and I'm going to fight against this enemy. Come on, hit me with anything, enemy, but I'm ready. I am ready because now I have. And first of all, you are a child of God, and you have this wonderful armor of God that he has given to us. He has given to us. Take a moment this morning to respond and pray that God will help you to put on this armor of God. Take a moment and say, yes, you know something? I'm missing some of the equipment in my life, and I need that equipment in my life to win these battles. I cannot win without it. So take a moment and just reflect on that. When everybody stands and the musicians come forward, and we will conclude with just a song and a prayer. And we're just going to go home and just meditate on God's word. But this morning, just take a moment, respond, and pray that God will help you to put on this full armor of God. How many of us are having these darts hitting towards our hearts, towards our minds, towards our affections, towards our emotions? Take a stand, my dear children. Take a stand, my dear child of God. Stay firm. Put on the armor of God and fight this enemy, and believe when you have this on, you can actually defeat the enemy of God. You can actually defeat this enemy. So as we pray along today, reflect on it and say, yeah, I'm missing some equipment. I need an equipment. I need a sword. I haven't read the word as I'm supposed to read. I haven't spent time in prayer as I'm supposed to pray. I haven't reminded myself who I am in Christ. I have taken my shoes off and started doubting on God or my confidence. I started lost confidence or my hope. So this morning, just examine yourself. And any of those areas that just touched your life this morning, bring it to God and says, no, I'm trusting in you today. I want to put this armor of God to fight this enemy this morning.